There is no shortage of anxiety in our world right now. And there is no shortage of certainty about who is at fault, which is always the person on the other end of the political spectrum. Placing blame never solves situations. It merely escalates them. And so we find ourselves in a state of near desperation, wanting in our hearts to fix the horror that is occurring when children are ripped from their loving parents' arms, and not knowing exactly what we in Anniston, Alabama can do. To begin, I believe that we need to stop trying to focus our energy on who to blame and move toward focusing our energy on fixing this horrible situation. None of us wants to cause harm to children or to families. On that, I hope we can all agree. If not, the divisions and ill will between us, between all of us in this community, will merely escalate and move to a greater state of desperation. Jesus is no stranger to desperation. So often the folks that turned to him found themselves in the most desperate states. We hear in Mark of two desperate situations today. First, a leader of the synagogue, most often described as those in opposition to Jesus, those trying to trip him up. We hear of this one coming to Jesus, falling at his feet and begging him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Let me assure you that then, as now, falling at someone's feet and begging is a sign of desperation. This father is at the end of his rope, and he will do whatever it takes in hope that his daughter's life will be restored. And Jesus, we are told, went with him. As Jesus and the throng of folks around here are on their way to the home of Jairus, a woman who has had hemorrhages for 12 years dares to reach up and touch the robe of Jesus. In her desperation, she totally derails the movement of the crowd to the site of the daughter near death. This unnamed woman is ritually unclean. And while the term ritually unclean means virtually nothing to us on a daily basis, it meant everything to her. She could not come in contact with anyone, or her state of uncleanness would be transferred onto them. She was an outcast, a pariah. And it's hard for 21st century American to have a full understanding of what that sort of existence is like. But to give us an inkling, it might be akin to becoming invisible. No one would see you or speak to you or interact with you. If you went to Winn-Dixie, the clerk would not ring you up because you are not there. The bank teller would not cash your check or make your deposit because you're just simply not visible. For this woman, not only was the physical drain of the hemorrhage enough to wear her down, the cultural implication was devastating. She had gone to many physicians, tried every lotion, potion, tonic, and incantation to no avail. The bleeding would not cease. But her existence seemed to. She was there, still alive, still a feeling human being, but no one noticed. She was desperate. And as we know, desperate people do desperate things. Jairus did, and this forever unnamed woman did as well. We don't want to be desperate. Desperation is accompanied by a sense of being out of control. People who are desperate have that look in their eyes, the one we most often refer to as a deer in headlights. Desperate people behave in ways that belie the fact that all logical thinking is gone. Desperate people behave in desperate ways, not as those with their faculties about them. And we don't want to be desperate, and we don't want to be around desperate people. Desperate people disrupt our sense of normalcy. People who are desperate are accompanied by messiness, by a frantic urge. Their messiness gets all over us and intrudes on our otherwise well-kempt lives, and we don't want that. We have too much else going on. We have other things to worry about. But Jesus sure didn't seem to. Desperate people drain us of our energy to do all the things that we think we need to do. But Jesus recognized that drain as a sign of faith. The shift in power from him to the folks in desperate need was affirmed by Jesus as the way to provide them health and wholeness. When Jairus came to Jesus, desperate that his daughter not die, Jesus went with him. When the unnamed woman reached out her desperate hand, she received healing that she had longed for and searched for many years. Jesus recognized that. He felt the power go from him to her. And he acknowledged her boldness, her frantic reaching out as a sign of her faith. Those around him, his disciples, thought he was nuts when he asked, "Who touched me?" They said, "You see all these people? You see this crowd? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" These were desperate people doing desperate things. And in their desperation, they went to Jesus, and their desperate need was relieved. There are countless desperate people in our world today. They are engaging in desperate behaviors to try to save their lives and the lives of their families. How do we respond to these folks? Do we respond in fear or anger, not wanting their desperation to engulf us? Do we turn a blind eye or a deaf ear? We're followers of Jesus, the one who went with the desperate father to heal his daughter and affirm the act of a desperate woman in need of healing and restoration. We are called to be the body of Jesus in the world in which we live today, which means that we are called to engage with the desperate folks in our world, those whose only hope is us, and go with them where they're going. It's not an easy call. It's not a call to be with desperate people who do desperate things and allow their desperateness of our follow walkers on this journey. We are called to be with them and enter into that with them and allow them to transform us and our space. Can we be the body of Christ in our world? Will we?